Terror. Ancient Terror, the birthplace of humanity, the crowded capital of an ever-expanding galactic dominion, the sovereign seat of the Imperium of Man, home, for a time, where the Father of Fathers sought to build an enduring empire, and the greatest of his sons sought to destroy it. Implement. The Carrion had never thought to see the Imperial Palace, let alone haunt its colonnades and corridors. With the hush of his black robes a perpetual reproach on the polished marble, the Raven Guard moved through the hanging gardens of the Espartic Wall. Here, some of the most ancient and beautiful of Terran plants, shrubs, and flowers had survived the ravages of time. Some had been preserved, others had been rediscovered on other worlds, and others still had been genetically engineered from fossil specimens. Beyond the shadows of long statue-lined aisles, courts displaying ancient relics and ornate gateways, to grand halls and wards, the leaf-lined arboreta offered excellent concealment for any who desired not to be seen, or wished to be alone. The Carrion tried to resist the overlays, isolations, and analyses of his cogitator systems and soak up the sounds, smells, and artificial warmth of the environmental shielding. The buzz of large insects from the beginning of Terran history, the flutter of tiny birds with nectar-dipping beaks, and the sweetness of life on the air. It was literally a world away from Mars, where the Carrion had been many months before. Once a cool, bleak place of dust and industry, the Red Planet was now a war zone of smouldering forges. The globe-carpeting network of hardlines and wireless transmitters had taken the corruption of the Dark Code to every construct that could receive it. That was how the Carrion had left the place, after spending days being hunted through the Habs, Manufactoria, and Assembly Yards, across the deserts of the Invalis and mounts of silent volcanoes. It was clear to the Raven Guard as he moved across Mars that some great schism had broken out in the ranks of the Machine God's servants. While many attempted to remain true to the Mechanicum and its allegiance to Terror, most had fallen to the Code Plague that swept its way through the planet's infrastructure, and soon there was not a polar meteorologist post, long-forgotten orbital relay, or deep info-tomb that had not succumbed to the virulent data stream. Only the new spherics that blessed forge temples like Novus Mons and the Magma City seemed to resist, which merely prompted the corrupted constructs of the Martian schismatists to march on such doomed sanctuaries in screeching numbers and brute force. Untrusting of even the Machine God's seemingly loyal servants, the Carrion thought it best to keep his survival a secret, until finally, over the Palladus ash wastes, he had heard the roar of thunderhawks overhead. By the time the Carrion reached Mondus Gamma, the Imperial Fists were evacuating with all the precious materiel of Mars they could transport. After presenting himself to a Captain Camber Diaz, the Carrion had been taken to Luna for debriefing. The Carrion waited under a lotus tree. The sun was rising and dawn reached over the crenellations in a zigzag of rosy light. He could hear the heavy footsteps of gold-plated sentinels walking the battlements of the Espartic Wall. Foot knights of the Legio Custodes walked by with shields and halberds. They did not even acknowledge the Carrion. He didn't entertain the thought, even for a second, that they had missed him. He had passed isometrics and had cleared the security barbicans that had been built into the ancient beauty of the palace. Since learning of Horus Lupercal's treachery at Istvan, as the Carrion had done on Luna, the Imperial Fists and the Legio Custodes had been relentless in their improvement and fortification of the Imperial Palace. The Primarch Rogel Dorn was overseeing the indomitable ugliness of the architectural enhancements, while his War Mason, Imperial Fists, and hundreds of thousands of indentured workers were shattering the tranquility of the place with round-the-clock labour. war was coming to the solar system. As the Legio Custodes moved on, trailed by several servo skulls wearing auger crowns of aerials and antennas, the Carrion heard further footsteps on the marble flags. Three men approached from the upper ward, although all three would have tested the definition of the word man. Rogel Dorn's armored step drew eyes wherever he went. He was huge, like a roving fortification. The glorious gold of his artificer plate, the blood-red river of his cloak, and the shock white of his hair. Few could stand the grim intensity of Dorn's gaze, the darkness of his eyes and the tautness of his jaw, inviting any who beheld him to share a tiny fraction of the burden the Primarch of the Imperial Fists bore in having a care for the Emperor's person. Beside him was the new Fabricator General, Zagreus Kane. The Mechanicum Overlord had escaped the Red Planet with the Imperial Fists, and, as the former Fabricator Locum of Mars, had been charged with coordinating the loyalist servants of the Machine God across the galaxy. His hooded robes of ardent red and fine gold thread hid a form that was outwardly human, but the Carrion knew that Kane was more machine than he was. From the darkness of the Fabricator General's hood, the Space Marine could see the blue blaze of his inset optics. Following, and seeming to take in the new day with ancient eyes, walked Malkador, the Regent of Terror. Whereas the Carrion felt the warm rays of sunlight through the sizzle of the environmental filters, a welcome change from cold, bleak Mars, the Sigilite gathered his hood and robes about him against the morning chill. A gnarled claw of a hand clutched a staff of office, and the eagle headpiece smouldered with an unnatural flame that neither warmed the bone nor lit the way, for Malkador had been curse-blessed with many otherworldly talents.
"Well, you know my thinking on this, Lord Malkador," Kane told the Sigilite. "The situation on Mars has been intolerable for some time now."
"I think Lord Dorn agrees with you, Fabricator General."
"Then why did he allow his legionaries to abandon the Forge World principle to the enemy?"
the Martian asked, his optics searing from the darkness of his hood. Rogel Dorn slowed and turned, his armored form like a wall of adamantium.
"Simple, General Kane," the Primarch said, his voice resembling the splitting of rock. "Supply and demand. You are familiar with the concept, I trust."
"Now my lord mocks the very principles upon which the Martian-Terran Concord historically exists."
"Then you understand," Dorn continued, bulldozing his way through the Mechanicum Overlord's indignity, "that the forces of the Legiones Astartes are already stretched, that war of an unprecedented scale sweeps through the galaxy, converging, intensifying, growing in its power to decimate and annihilate, intent on sating itself, as all wars do, on the innocent and the unprepared."
Dorn looked to the sun, rising above the walls, citadels, and bastions of the transforming palace.
"Every one of my Imperial Fists will be needed to stand before such a ravenous monster, and the living treachery that is my brother Horus. Throughout the solar system, across Terra, on the walls of this very palace, I thought not to waste such a precious resource in holding a handful of Forge Temples against the mighty and collective constructs of all Mars. Supply and demand, Fabricator General."
Zagreus Kane felt like he was standing on the slopes of a rumbling volcano.
"Supply and demand,"
the Fabricator General repeated back to the Primarch.
"Is that why you came for your armor and munitions?"
"I can hardly be expected to fight such a war without them."
"What about the citizen constructs of Mars, my lord?"
Cain shot back at him.
What about the lives of the priests, artisans, and temple thralls who labored to forge your weapons and equipment?
You demonstrate a surprising amount of passion for a subject of the machine god, Dorn said.
The right to life is the same,
the Fabricator General said.
Whether your wondrous workings hang on bone or a construct's chassis. Now, my lord, if you please, what about the lives of my people?
Dorn looked to the sigilite, who gave him the unreadable look of a man unwilling to answer or to judge the impossible choices of another.
They died so that their fine works might reach hands that would turn such craft into instruments of avenging death,
Rogel Dorn told Cain finally.
Warriors who would use such wonders to bring justice to the fallen and punish those who had truly condemned Martian innocence to a disposable fate.
The three men didn't speak for a moment. The sun bled through the distant clouds of a morning sky. Custodians passed, silent and vigilant, through the hanging gardens.
Then you agree with Malkador and myself that it is high time to return to the Forge World Principle?
Zagreus Cain asked.
To take back Mars?
Again Dorn looked at the sigilite, and again the First Lord of Terror pursed his unsmiling lips.
No,
the Primarch answered simply. Such a decree was considered a living law, unbroken among most that had occasion to disagree with Rogel Dorn.
No, my lord,
the Fabricator General asked.
You said it yourself. Supply and demand. Consider the resources and legionary assets it requires to blockade Mars presently. Allies arrive daily in system, driven here by the vagaries of war. Your brother Primarchs come and go with the Legiones Astartes at their disposal.
I fear Lord Dorn does not advocate a forge-by-forge retaking of Mars at all, Fabricator General,
the sigilite spoke up. Cain looked from the Primarch to Malkador and back to Dorn.
You are right about the situation on Mars being intolerable, Rogel Dorn admitted. The blockade of Mars cannot go on. I need those vessels and the legionaries that crew them elsewhere. Malkador assures me that there is loyal resistance on Mars. A guerrilla war, if you will. Yet there is little evidence of it. The Red Planet has been taken by the enemy. We have lost Mars, and we must accept that. It's time to consider other options, Fabricator General. In the past, when worlds have been so thoroughly infested with Xenos, for example, when an expeditionary action to retake lost ground has been deemed too costly in life and materiel, we have looked to other solutions. Drastic solutions to impossible problems.
Now, wait a second,
Zagreus Cain blurted, the blue blaze of his optics intensifying.
Malkador, he can't be serious.
When has Rogel Dorn ever been known not to be serious, Fabricator General?
The sigilite returned.
You are talking about Exterminatus,
Cain said.
On the Forge World Principle? On Mars?
That is what I am proposing, Fabricator General, Dorn told him. I have run the simulations with my captains. Such action is the best tactical resolution to a host of problems faced by Terra and the solar system at large. With your assistance, we have already negotiated with the Forge Worlds Phaeton and Vos Prime for supplies. Much-needed vessels and manpower could be redirected from the Martian conflict to securing the capital system. However, most significant of all is if all else fails and Horus arrives in system, then we will have stripped him not only of his Mechanicum allies, but also of a highly fortified staging point. Consider, Fabricator General, how difficult it would be, how costly in time and life, to remove the traitors from Mars now. Then imagine how impossible it would be with Horus Lupercal and his traitor legions operating out of the Red Planet. You understand that I cannot allow that to happen.
But Zagreus Kane had turned towards the rising sun, allowing its golden rays to penetrate the darkness of his hood. The deep lines of his anxiety-eaten face gave the Fabricator General the ghoulish, drawn appearance of a Forge World servitor.
You would bombard the surface from orbit?
Yes, Fabricator General, Rogaldorn said. With cyclonic torpedoes to...
To ensure maximum devastation,
Kane said, finishing the Primarch's sentence. After collecting himself for a moment and dragging himself away from the nightmarish vision of a destroyed Mars playing over and over in his head, Zagreus Kane regarded the hulking Primarch and frail First Lord.
I implore you, do not do this. The Empire of Mars has endured in peace and shared designs for almost as long as Terra itself.
That fact cannot shield it from the consequences of heresy, Rogaldorn rumbled.
There are many, many technological wonders,
the Fabricator General continued,
and secrets that Mars harbors that would be lost in such an action. The loss to humanity in terms of knowledge would be incalculable. You would be destroying the Imperium's future to preserve an uncertain present, and plunging the Empire back into the days of old night.
Without a present, however uncertain, the Primarch countered, there will be no future.
There is something else, my Lord Dorn,
the Mechanicum Overlord said.
Something that your tactical model should factor in.
You would lecture me on that, Fabricator General? The Primarch asked.
Have you considered the reaction of the Omnissiah's servants here on Terra?
Kane asked.
Or the feelings of other Forge Worlds throughout the Imperium? Mars is the spiritual nexus for all worship of the Omnissiah in the galaxy. What will the billions of priests and Mechanicum constructs make of your attack on their sovereign soil? Your destruction of a world sacred to the faith of the cult Mechanicum.
What are you saying, Zagreus? Malkador pressed.
If I'm not mistaken, Dorn growled, we're being threatened. Here, on the walls of the Imperial Palace...
I am the Emperor's humble servant,
the Fabricator General told them,
and would advocate for the actions of his son, Lord Dorn, in my every word and deed. But I cannot answer for the horror such actions would create on distant Forge Worlds, confronted with the reality that the Imperium seeks to destroy Mars, while Kelbor Hal and the War Master seek to preserve it. How could they know that their own Forge Worlds wouldn't be next? Tensions have existed for a long time between the Emperor's servants and the Martian faith. How long before the servants of the Omnissiah in their entirety are dismissed as a heretic cult? How long before they in turn dismiss the Emperor's sons and his subjects as warmongering traitors? Would you not be creating the perfect storm for a further split in the Mechanicum?
The Primarch fixed the Fabricator General with the searing intensity of his dark eyes. As his systems flooded his bloodstream with mood suppressors, it took everything the Fabricator General had to stand his ground before the mighty dawn. Malkador watched the sun burn in the sky.
And if there was another way? The Sigilite asked. An alternative that might serve all of our needs? Drastic, yes. Distasteful, even. But a chance to neutralize the growing threat of the Red Planet, he said to Dorn, while preserving the sovereignty and sacrosanct significance of Martian soil,
he directed at Kane. Rogaldorn and the Fabricator General turned towards Malkador.
Would it have anything to do with the shadow you have standing sentinel beneath the lotus? Rogaldorn asked.
Malkador risked a parched smile.
Carrion, the sigilite called. Come forth, if you please. You're making Lord Dorn nervous.
As the carrion walked forth through the ornamental foliage of the hanging gardens, he found that Rogaldorn gave Malkador the displeasure of his unsmiling face. The regent had at least broken the tension between the Primarch and the Fabricator General.
You are the son of my brother Korax, Dorn said upon the carrion's approach.
Despite the plain gunmetal grey of the carrion's plate, the Raven Guard could not hide the paleness of his skin, the black of his long hair, and the sharpness of his features.
It is an honour to be so, my lord, the carrion answered.
The carrion joins the ranks of my eyes and ears from the Raven Guard Legion,
Malkador explained to the Fabricator General.
From Mars,
the Mechanicum Overlord observed, noting the signature workmanship of the Forge World Principle in the carrion's augmetics. The Space Marine shifted his weight slightly from the hydraulics of one leg to the other.
Yes,
the sigilite confirmed.
Evacuated with my construct kindred by Lord Dorn's Imperial Fists,
the Fabricator General said.
I remember you from processing on Luna. A legionary. You were undergoing training on Mars with the artisans?
Yes, General, the carrion said. I had completed my training and was scheduled for Covenants.
By the ever-turning cogs,
the Mechanicum Overlord said.
Then you must allow me to arrange for your instatement. You must receive the Machina Opus for your years of study and training.
Oh, that is gracious of you, General, the carrion said. But I have decided not to take Covenants.
The confession seemed to confuse the Mechanicum Overlord.
You have decided not to return to your legion, Dorn said. After everything you have learned befell them in the Istvan system.
The carrion had heard from Malkador's own lips the atrocities committed on the other side of the galaxy, where brother had turned against brother, a massacre had unfolded, and the history of the Imperium to come had changed forever. He would like to have said that he had wept for his brothers, but he hadn't. Farinatus had changed him forever. He should have felt a howling emptiness where his hearts should have been, a void that could only be filled with the spilling of traitor blood. Instead, he simply felt a cold, irresistible need to fix what had been broken. A riven empire, a legacy stalled, the gears of brotherhood grinding and smashed.
No, my lord, the carrion replied.
At a time when my brother and your brothers need you most,
the Primarch pressed.
I have chosen another kind of service,
the carrion told him. Dorn looked to the silent sigilite.
He is to be one of your pieces,
he asked,
to be moved about the regicide board.
Aren't we all such pieces?
Malkador returned.
How did your man Garrow put it?
The Primarch asked.
A knight errant.
He has chosen such a path,
Malkador said.
Or had it chosen for him on Luna,
Dorn said. Malkador simply smiled.
A path that will take him back to Mars if we three choose, he said.
And let the suggestion hang for a moment on the morning breeze.
I'm listening, Dorn said.
Malkador turned to Kane.
You have my attention,
the Fabricator General said.
Please,
the sigilite said to the carrion.
Tell them as you have told me.
The carrion bowed his head to his new lord and master.
My time on Luna gave me the opportunity to think. There is nothing to do up there but think about the schism on Mars, the betrayal at Istvan, my lord regent's offer, and the part I might play in this new galaxy of challenge and change. I came to the conclusion that despite our shock at the atrocities committed during the drop site massacre, heresy, in one form or another, is nothing new. Mars was rife with unsanctioned experimentation, the embrace of abominate technologies and solutions sought from the Xenos or the beyond. As Cain began to protest, the Carrion added, "Which the clave malagra of the Lexorcist General, the Divisio Probandi, and the Prefecture Magisterium were tireless in their efforts to hunt down and persecute." The Mechanicum Overlord nodded his acquiescence. "I had misfortune to see one such heretic sentenced to stasis containment in perpetuitus."
"What was his crime?"
the Fabricator General asked.
"The study of self-enhancing technologies."
"Abominable intelligence?"
"Yes, General," the Carrion confirmed. "My artisan Astartes exposed his students to the workings of the fearful Malagra, the Divisio Probandi, and the Prefecture Magisterium early on, to instill in them repugnance for such deviations."
"Then you had a wise mentor,"
Cain acknowledged.
"What was this heretic's name?"
"Octobul," the Carrion told him. "A young but brilliant Magus Dominus of the Legio Cybernetica. A student himself of the artisan Cybernetica, Fernalius Lux."
"I know of Lux from the info tombs," Cain said. "But not this Magus."
"Well, heresies are hidden," the Carrion continued. "Rewritten, erased, even from such as yourself, Fabricator General. To make clear the feudal politics in the region and save his construct kindred embarrassment, the Divisio Probandi had code scrubbers remove all trace of Bull's existence from the tombs, the Libraria, and even local hub streams. His work, his corruptions and researches were buried with him in stasis confinement."
"Then how do you know so much about this radical?" Dorn put to him.
"My mentor made Octobul my first case study," the Carrion said. "He gave me access to the encrypted Probandi files. He wanted to know that I truly understood the heretic's transgressions."
"And do you?"
the Primarch pressed, the rumble of each word a warning.
"Enough to assist us in this time of great need, Lord Dorn."
"Rogel," Malkador soothed, "hear him out."
"Those transgressions included speaking against Martian laws of non-proliferation of adaptive intelligences, the Sentiency Edict, and the banned pursuits of the Singularitarianists."
"Those charges would be condemnation enough," the Fabricator General said.
"Octobul went further than that," the Carrion told him. "Much further. His tracts detailed his acquisition of a dangerous piece of technology known as the Tabula Myriad, a silica animus responsible for genocides on a number of warp storm isolated worlds during the Age of Strife. It was recovered in the early days of the Great Crusade by the Iron Hands, after defeating the decimated Parafex and the sentient constructs of the Tabula Myriad on Ultra Median. The great Ferus Manus led the 24th Expeditionary Fleet personally, and turned the Tabula Myriad over to the Mechanicum for safekeeping."
"It seems we failed in that,"
the Fabricator General admitted.
"How was such a thing allowed to happen?"
"Octobul's area of expertise within the Cybernetica was Cortex firmware. He had been experimenting with his automata protocols long before he acquired the Tabula Myriad. Instead of the functional algorithms and staid programming of his adept peers, Bull's programming patterns were multi-layered, intricate, and loaded with self-referential flair and flourish. They were pieces of programming art. He didn't regard his modus as an artisan's tool. It was like a musical instrument upon which he created complex algorithmic symphonies. In breaking with convention,
He even named the individual wetware programs for the automata cohorts under his command, like Regicide Strategies, the Tolex opening, the Vam Ryan defense, and the Auckland Nanimus game. Cohorts of battle automata benefiting from his programming had the very highest success rates, with few units suffering from malfunction or computation error. It was the artistry of such algorithms that gave his automata the impression of thinking for themselves, and alerted adepts in the Legio Cybernetica and Praefectura Magisterium to his possible deviancy.
"You sound as if you admire him," Dorn said. "Do you?"
The Carrion thought carefully about his reply.
"Can a man fear, respect, and admire the capabilities of another, while simultaneously having repugnance for all that he represents? Surely you can still admire the martial gifts of the War Master, while still doing everything in your power to stop him. Do not the Imperial Fists advocate a respect for their enemies?"
"I don't know what mind games are played in the shadows of your legion, or the hypotheticals that fill the days on Mars," Dorn growled. "But they are not welcome on the very walls that might be called upon to defend us against such dread gifts."
"Forgive me, Lord Dorn," the Carrion said.
The Primarch said nothing for a moment, seemingly as angry with himself as with Malkador's knight-errant. Dorn considered.
"I asked a question, and you answered it. That is all. Pray continue."
"Octal Bool used his gifts to frustrate the security firmware of the dungeon Diagnostica and access the stasis tombs of Promethei Sinus. These would be the same tombs within which he would be incarcerated for his crimes. It was there he acquired the Tabula Myriad."
"Why this particular abomination?"
the Fabricator General asked.
"Well, the Tabula Myriad is a form of exigency engine," the Carrion told him, "far surpassing the abilities of Mechanicum cipher engines and logista. Its Baroque matrix combines the calculus of macro probability with the creativity of its abominable sentience, filling the gaps in its data with imaginative theoreticals."
"As our genitors and magi replicae substitute the common genetic coding of other species in damaged DNA?"
"Oh, yes, General."
"This machine strategically predicts future outcomes," Rogaldorn said, with as much of a shiver as a Primarch could suffer.
"It predicted the schism on Mars," the Carrion told him.
"On other worlds, where it had predicted men would look to the darkness for answers and damn themselves with the corruptions of the beyond, the Tabula Myriad and the sentient constructs under its control initiated a merciless campaign against what it determined to be the weakness of flesh. In his research, Octal Bool claimed that the Tabula Myriad had predicted on those flesh-cleansed worlds exactly what we are now facing on the Red Planet, a heresy of belief, of purpose, and of the flesh. It employed the same probability matrix used to condemn such civilizations to achieve victory against them. The decision to ultimately eradicate the weakness, the threat of such flesh, took probably no more than a millisecond."
"I think I see where we are going," Dorn said gravely, looking to the silent sigillite.
"What do you mean?"
Cain asked, his own cogitator functions calculating to catch up.
"How were the Tabula Myriad and this heretic to affect such an outcome on Mars?" Dorn asked. "Before this madman was caught and contained."
The Carrion looked from the Primarch to the Fabricator General.
"With elegance and economy, my lord," the Space Marine said. "Unlike Terra, the Red Planet has long since lost its natural magnetosphere. Two forge temples, ancient in engineering and construction, were built in the frozen wastes at each planetary pole. Vertex Borealis in the north, and Vertex Australis in the south."
"By the almighty Omnissiah, no,"
the Fabricator General murmured.
Vertex,
Dorn pressed the Carrion, suppressing a scowl of annoyance and confusion.
Explain.
Well, the Vertex is a great axle, a wonder of Mars, a feat of planetary engineering dating back to the early days of the Mechanicum,
the Carrion said.
It is a planetary spindle that reaches down into the Martian crust and through the long-cooled core of the Forge World. Geomagnetic reactors feed power back to the axle that keeps the core turning. The Vertex is the key to all biological life on Mars. Without it and the artificial magnetospheric shield it generates, Mars would not be protected from the lethal radiation of our own star, let alone the deadly cosmic rays generated by stellar events in nearby systems.
And Octal Bool and the Tabula Myriad,
Dorn began.
Plan to damage or destroy the Forge Temple at Vertex Australis,
the Carrion confirmed.
The abominable intelligence calculated the southern installation to be the most tactically vulnerable.
What about the other Forge Temple?
Asked the Primarch.
Well, only one needs to be incapacitated for the operation of the Vertex to be compromised,
the Carrion said.
Could this technology be repaired or rebuilt?
Dorn asked.
The arcane knowledge of the technology's grand operation is lost to the Mechanicum,
the Fabricator General said.
Without the magnetospheric shield, the thin atmosphere of Mars would be stripped away by the solar wind, carrying away the planet's precious reserves of water. The red planet would rapidly become a radiation trap, inimical to organic life.
The true objective of the heretical martyr Octal Bool and the Tabula Myriad,
the Carrion said.
A war on the weakness of flesh, with Mars left purged, pure, and in the hands of the machines.
If such a thing were contemplated,
Zagreus Kane said.
We are contemplating it,
Malkador told him with steely assurance.
Lord Dorn,
the Fabricator General implored, looking for support from the Primarch.
What would you propose?
Dorn asked gravely.
The Carrion, the Sigillite said, has consented to return to Mars as my agent. No one, even among the ranks of my own knights errant, is better qualified for such an undertaking. He will liberate Bool and his silica animus and facilitate them, if possible, in enacting their dread plan.
Rogel Dorn thought on what the aged regent had told him. His grim visage was a nest of rankling uncertainties. They were not a natural fit for the Primarch's dauntless features.
There are so many factors,
Dorn admitted finally.
How can you know that the traitors on Mars haven't already neutralized such a threat, or sought out the collaboration of such heretics and constructs?
All knowledge of Octal Bool and his researches was wiped from the info tombs, the Raven Guard reminded him.
And what of this abominable technology, should it succeed?
Dorn asked.
Won't we be exchanging one enemy for another?
Well, my study of heretical history and the dread employment of such intelligences is that, despite early successes, deviant technology ultimately fails. It is one of the strongest arguments the Cult Mechanicum has in refusing to embrace such technology. Who would you rather face on the field of battle, Lord Dorn? In the long term, the Tabula Myriad will fail, as it has done before. Can you say the same about Horus Lupercal?
And this sits well with you, Knight Errant? These unconventional strategies?
Dorn challenged.
Well, short of sending half of your legion to secure Mars,
the Carrion said,
any strategy is going to be unconventional. The fact is, my lord, that my Primarch, your brother, taught me well. The Raven Guard do not engage in a frontal assault unless they have to. Infiltration and sabotage are weapons to be wielded against the enemy. In my mind, turning heretic against heretic is no different to collapsing a bridge, detonating a reactor, or blowing up a building. The Raven Guard are as one with the shadows when we need to be. We are masters of the unseen. And believe me, Lord Dorne, our enemies on Mars will not see this coming.
Rogel Dorne looked to Zagreus Kane.
Fabricator General.
You are asking me to visit the devastations of Old Night once more upon the Red Planet,
Kane said.
For Mars now, there are but three futures,
Malkador told the Mechanicum Overlord.
It can be a decimated rock of soot and ruin. It can be a swarming stronghold for traitors and deviant filth. Or, Fabricator General, Mars can be cleansed of the treachery that festers on its surface like a cancer. It can be returned to a prouder moment in its illustrious history and begin again, with its materiel, infrastructure, sovereign soil, and its secrets intact.
The Fabricator General nodded his hooded head in slow shame. Rogel Dorne looked to Malkador and his knight-errant.
Purge the unclean, the Primarch told them.
The Carrion turned to his master, the regent of all terror. Malkador wasted on the Carrion what remained of the kindness in his misty eyes.
Do your solemn duty,
the Sigilite ordered.
My lords,
the Carrion said, and walked off towards the upper ward, where one of the Sigilite's unmarked shuttles was waiting for him on a concealed landing platform. As he walked, he willed his cogitator to filter out the light hiss of his hydraulics and the background bustle of patrolling sentries and slate-burdened administrators. He heard what he expected to.
What if he fails?
The Fabricator General asked.
Whatever Malkador wishes him to be now, the Primarch rumbled. He is a warrior of the Legiones Astartes. It might be difficult in these darkening days, but try still to have some faith in the Emperor's angels.
Many lives depend upon his success,
Malkador said finally.
For if he fails, Lord Dorne has a difficult decision to make.
To that, there was no reply.